Good morning. It's the Super Bowl of Sundays for the church, but you know, it's kind of interesting because I was sitting there thinking earlier, this is my 35th Easter Sunday as a believer, 35, and I remember many of them because once I got saved and started serving the Lord in the church, there were times where I'd do 6, 7, 8 services on a weekend. I think I survived those. I mean, I don't know how I did by God's grace. But here's my point. I think every Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday for the church. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. If we only come one Sunday and think, oh, we're celebrating the resurrection, what about the other days? What about the other Sundays? You know? So we come together to worship God, to fellowship with one another, to understand that we're forgiven by the blood of Jesus and faith in him, and we celebrate that he is alive, he is risen. Thank you. So today as we celebrate Easter, let's remember that the first Easter morning didn't begin with celebration for the disciples. It was disappointment. Because for followers of Jesus then, Friday felt final. Jesus was gone. The one they trusted was dead, and everything they had hoped for seemed buried. Have you ever had a moment like that? You ever had a life like that? A moment where something didn't turn out the way you believed it would? A prayer that didn't get answered the way you expected? A situation where it felt like hope didn't come through? And in those moments, it doesn't feel like a setup. It feels like the end. But Easter tells us something very important. Easter tells us that this is not the end, because what feels lost can be redeemed in Christ. We're in a message series in our church called Follow Me, and I Will Make You Fishers of Men. And today we're in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. And here's what we learned from this passage. Number one, we learn that because Jesus is risen, our hope is redeemed. Because Jesus is risen, our hope is redeemed. Do you know that hope is important? Hope is very important. Without hope, people die. There was once a town in Maine called Flagstaff. It no longer exists because the demand for electric power was so great that the power company made a decision. They would dam the river and flood that town to serve the rest of the state. Flagstaff, Maine, was doomed. And ironically, the river that would flood it was called the Dead River. In 1949, the waters came and swallowed the town, and today Flagstaff Lake sits where people once lived. You can literally canoe over what used to be homes and streets. Here's a picture of what it looks like today. It looks beautiful, right? But for the people who lost everything, it was a nightmare. But here's the question. When did the town of Flagstaff die? Was it when the waters came? No. The town of Flagstaff died the moment it lost hope. The moment it heard there was no future. Because when there's no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. Without hope, people die. But here's the good news. Because of Easter, hope lives. And therefore, people live. And that's exactly where the disciples were. The cross said it was over. Jesus was dead. And their hope was buried in a tomb. But on Sunday morning, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Wow, think of that. They went thinking the tomb was going to be the way it was. They noticed this huge stone that was probably weighed 3,000, 4,000 pounds, they say, was moved away from the tomb. They went in. The body of Jesus was not there. Confusion set in. And then two men in dazzling clothes just appear. and say this. Read it with me. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, I grew up in Cypress, California. Does anyone know where that is? I remember when we moved there, they said, oh, it was next to Hawaiian Gardens. And I go, wow, that sounds like a joyous place. No. And right across the street from my house was Forest Lawn Mortuary. Right there, okay? And I always heard people were dying to get in there. And, but you know what I never heard? I never heard of someone rising from the grave at Forest Lawn. Because dead people usually stay dead. But not Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. And that changes everything. So why do people still look for the living among the dead? Why do people still live as if Jesus is dead? Like he's still on the crucifix. Even his first disciples struggled. They had heard him say that he would die and rise. But in that moment, they forgot. So the angels had to remind them by saying, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. You know what that is? That's the gospel. Gospel. I love that. That's the good news. These two dazzling men did what we all need. They reminded them of the truth. Because when you are down, you need the truth. And then Luke says, and they remembered Jesus' words. You know, remembering Jesus' words brings hope. The word of God spreads hope. So then what happens? The women run back to tell the disciples. And you know what happens? They don't believe them, women. In fact, scripture says that to them it sounded like nonsense, like crazy talk. Think about that. The very people who walked with Jesus, heard his teaching, saw his miracles, thought the resurrection sounded crazy. And you know what? To a lot of people it does. We should not be surprised when people think that same thing about the gospel. It's crazy. The Bible says this, read it with me. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But that same message, it goes on to say, that cross and resurrection is the power of God that saves those who believe. Because here's the key. Here's the key to having hope in your life. Read it with me. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Amen. Do you confess him as God? Do you confess Jesus as Lord? Then guess what? It doesn't say you might be saved. It says you will be saved. You are saved because you believe. You don't have to do one other thing. I'm glad you're here this morning. I am. But think about the thief on the cross. Think about the two thieves on the cross. One mocked Jesus. The other one said, you remember what he said? He said, Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Something changed in that guy's life. You know what Jesus said? He said, okay, buddy, you got to get off the cross, go to church, be baptized, and do a lot of good things. No, what did he say? He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, either Jesus is lying or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, which he is telling the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. All he did was believe who Jesus is. See, religion tries to put all this stuff in your way. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. A relationship with God through Jesus is easy if you believe. If you believe. If not for the resurrection, we would be hopeless. We would still be living in Friday when Sunday came already. So Peter comes to his senses and he runs to the tomb and he looks in to find only the linen clothes, and scripture says he went away amazed. Peter went away amazed. Now, that's great. It's great to be amazed. But did Peter believe? That's the question. Well, guess what? According to John, the disciple's account, John wrote a gospel as well. Do you know what he wrote? Look what he wrote. So Peter and the other disciple, who's John, I don't know why he always talked to him in third person. He always talked about himself in third person. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now that cracks me up. Men are so different than women. The women are focused on the details of Jesus' resurrection, and John and Peter were focused on who got to the tomb first. And then John goes on. Finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, he says that about himself, also went inside, and look what happens. He saw and what? Believed. Peter was amazed. John believed. Now, we know Peter did believe, but it's interesting, because here's the difference. It's not enough to just look into the empty tomb. It's not enough to be amazed. It's only enough if you believe, because when you believe, your hope is redeemed. You're no longer living in a sinking town. You are no longer trapped in the tomb. You are no longer in Friday. You are in Sunday. Here's what Easter reminds us. God is still working when we think the story is over. You think your story is over? No, it's not. That's the hope we have. And if God can redeem your hope, then he can redeem your story. And that's the second thing we learn from this passage. Because Jesus is risen, our story is redeemed. There's a great movie called The Shawshank Redemption. Has anyone seen that? It's a story of a man named Andy, falsely accused, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison. And for years, it looked like his story was over. But at the very end, everything turns. Andy escapes. The truth comes to light. And what looked like a finished story wasn't finished at all. That's what the resurrection does. It turns the tables on our story. Because apart from Christ, we were accused. We were guilty. We were sentenced, not to a prison of stone, but to a life enslaved to sin and death. The enemy was our warden. And he did not give us a way out. But God did. Because you know what redemption means? The word redemption means ransom. It means someone pays the price you couldn't pay. And the proof of life wasn't your life. It was his life. The ransom wasn't silver or gold. It was his blood. That's why we sing about his blood that sets us free and cleanses us from all our sin when we believe. And because Jesus lived the perfect life that I couldn't live, raise your hand if you have lived thus far a perfect life. Yeah, right. God knows you and I do too, so. But because Jesus lived a perfect life, died and rose again, his story rewrote my story. His story rewrote your story because we were dead in our sin and now those who believe are alive in Christ. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. A lot of people are living like they're still dead in their sins. There was a Japanese soldier named Hiro Onodo who kept fighting in the jungle for nearly 30 years after World War II ended. You know why? He didn't hear the war was over. So he kept living like it was still happening. And that's how many people live today spiritually. They live like it's Friday. It's over. Like sin still has the final word. And that's exactly where we find the disciples on the road to Emmaus in this passage today where Pastor Sam didn't read yet. I just want to read the beginning of it in verse 13. It says, now that same day, two of the disciples were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place, the crucifixion. They were discussing it. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them, but they could not recognize him, or it says they were prevented from recognize him. So here's what's happening. These two disciples walking away from Jerusalem, dejected, walking away from hope, walking away from what they thought their story would be. And they say these three words, but we had hoped. Those are heavy words. They're three of the saddest words a person can say. We had hoped. They thought Jesus failed. They thought the cross was the end. They thought their story was over, but what they didn't realize was that they were living in the middle of the story, not the end of it. Because Jesus walks up beside them, they don't even recognize him, and what does he do? He opens the scriptures, and he begins with Moses and the prophets, all the Old Testament, and he shows them himself. He shows them that the Messiah had to suffer and enter into glory. In other words, the cross was not a tragedy. It was the plan. There was no plan B. The cross was the plan. The cross wasn't failure. It was fulfillment. What looked like defeat was actually redemption. And here's the irony. Here's the irony. They were walking with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus. And they were being taught by Jesus. And they didn't even know it. That's how a lot of people live. Walking through life, trying to figure things out on their own. I got this. I'll handle it. And all the while, Jesus is right there. But everything changes when the two disciples stop. They sit at the table. He breaks bread. And scripture says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Because here's the thing, sometimes you have to slow down enough to recognize who's been walking with you the entire time. And in that moment, their story changes, not because their circumstances changed, but because they saw Jesus clearly. The resurrection reveals this. God is rewriting your story even when you don't see it. Your story is not defined by your worst moment. Thank you, Jesus. It is not defined by your failure. It is not defined by what you thought was the end. It is redeemed by a risen Christ. That's grace. And when you see that, when you experience that, your story is redeemed. And it changes your heart. When you realize Jesus didn't just fix your situation. He stepped in and took your place. That doesn't just change your story. It changes your heart. It changed my heart. In 1991, when I prayed, God, if you're real, please show me. And a few days later, the phone rang. And the guy on the other line said, hi, is Bob there? I said, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. And he says, you know, he said, Jesus loves you, and hung up the phone. And I thought to myself, there's no way Jesus loves me. I have made too many mistakes. I was on my way to hell. My idol at the time was Jim Morrison. I wanted to be like him. And the next week, I'm in a mall, and there's a guy look up to me. He goes, hey, man, Jesus loves you. I walked by him, and he was gone. And then a week later or so, I was in a parking lot full of cars. There's a car parked. Pink VW bug said, Jesus loves you all over it. And you know what I did? I was reminded, God, if you're real, please show me. He did and closed the deal on my life. And I believed and I have not turned back. Is my life perfect? Heck no. Ask my wife. My life is not perfect. But he is. He lived for me. He died for me. But guess what? He rose, and I'm going to rise with him. You know, I've written many songs for Jesus. I've written many songs. I want to sing one for you right now. And it's because I love him so much. And I want to give my life to him. Now, do I get selfish sometimes? Yes. But my desire is to give my life away. Another broken life touched by Jesus Christ, and
how I want the world to know of how he rescued me and set my spirit free, and how I almost touched the sky, oh, the day to the one who gave his precious life for me. Lord, I'm giving my life away. Your love is so amazing in everything you do. I give my life to you. Perfect sacrifice of a sinless life, a perfect love spilled out for man. And through his righteousness, I can stand blameless before the King Almighty God. And what can I give except myself? So I'm singing with you. Giving my life away to the one who gave his precious life for me. Lord, I'm giving my life away. Love is so amazing in everything I do. Give my life to you. You died a violent death for me. Undeservingly I stand before your cross in humble shame. Then the death you died became an instrument of life, and now I'll never be the same. My life away to the one who gave his Lord. Sing it. Giving my life away to the one who gave his precious life for me. Lord, I'm giving my life away. Your love is so amazing in everything I do. Give my life to you.
Thank you. Because Jesus is risen, our hope is redeemed, our story is redeemed, and third, because Jesus is risen, our hearts are redeemed. Have you ever noticed how one moment can change how you feel about everything? You can walk into a room discouraged, heavy, weighed down. That's how I felt before I met Jesus. And I'll never forget when Deborah walked in my house. She helped me come to Jesus. And I saw her, and that moment changed my life. Now, I can't compare to Jesus changing my life because she's not Jesus. But I'm telling you, something changes. You know, like when you get a phone call or you hear a piece of news, nothing around you has changed, but suddenly everything feels different. Your outlook shifts, your energy changes, your heart lifts. That's what happens when you truly encounter the risen Jesus. Have you truly encountered him? It doesn't just change your circumstances, it changes your heart. When Jesus broke the bread, the disciples' eyes were open and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on that road and explained the scripture to us? Notice what happened. Their hearts were cold, now burning. Their direction was away, now running back, and their despair turned into urgency and joy. That is redemption. That is redemption. When grace gets a hold of your life, it doesn't just change what you do, it changes your heart. The Emmaus disciples' hearts began to burn when they heard from Jesus. Their eyes were open. They sat with Jesus. And that's still how it works today, ladies and gentlemen. You know what Jesus says? Read this famous verse with me, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Do you know who Jesus said that to? Us, the church. Because here's the deal. It is possible to be close to Jesus and still be walking away from him. And that's a lonely place to be. I remember one night when my friends and I snuck back into Forest Lawn. It was dark. It was cold. And all of a sudden I felt a hand on my shoulder. No, I'm just kidding. At one point, I found myself alone, and that's how people are living, alone, disconnected, still living like it's a funeral, when Sunday came. Some of you are in a Friday moment right now. Something didn't turn out the way you thought. Something feels unfinished. Something seems unresolved. Something may even be buried. And if you're honest, it feels like the end. But Easter's the reminder of this. Just because it feels finished doesn't mean God is finished. Because the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is still in the business of redeeming what feels lost. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And because he's risen, your hope can be redeemed. Your story can be redeemed. And your heart can be redeemed. What feels like the end may actually be where God is about to begin right now. Because Jesus is risen. Nothing in your life. Nothing. Oh, what about my kids? What about my marriage? What about my finances? Nothing in your life is beyond redemption. Thank God. You don't have to leave here this morning like you're still living in Friday. This is the moment when your story can change. And right now, some of you feel that. You can feel it. Not just in your mind, in your heart. Because this isn't just a story about what happened then. This is about what Jesus is doing right now, right here. Some of you walked in, or some of you tuned in to the live stream, feeling like it's still Friday. Hope is buried. Your story feels stuck. Your heart's distant. But I'm going to tell you today, the declaration of Easter is it's not Friday anymore. It's not a funeral. Jesus is alive. It's a celebration, and your life can change. But here's the question. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to peek in and be amazed. Do you believe it? Remember what the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is God, Lord, and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Your life will be redeemed. So today, right where you are, if you're ready to stop living like it's Friday, if you're ready to trust the risen Jesus, if you're ready for your life to be redeemed, I want to invite you to respond. So bow your heads, and in your heart, if you have felt the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus speaking to your heart, don't leave here without answering yes to his call to salvation. And you don't have to say a prayer, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer because it really is about your heart. God knows your heart. If your heart wants to stop living like it's Friday and want to live like Jesus is alive, you can now just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you are God. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of living like it's Friday. I want to live like it's Sunday. I want the risen Jesus living inside of me. And if that's your heart, guess what? Jesus has come into your life, into your heart. Is your life now perfect? No, but you have hope of a better life. You have hope of a better future. You don't have to live in Forest Lawn or Hawaiian Gardens. You can live in heaven with Jesus for eternity. That's a game changer. And Lord, I want to pray for the church this morning, all of us in here, because I believe there are even believers in here that are living like it's Friday. And I pray, Lord, that we can confess that we don't have to live like that. We confess that we've tried to live our life, even though you're right next to us, like you're not there. We confess that we've tried to make our family into our image instead of into your image. We confess that we've tried to make ourselves into our image instead of your image. Lord, take over our life. We're tired of walking on the road to Emmaus away from you. Bring us back to you. And bring the prodigals back to you. The ones that have walked with you at some point in their life, and now they're not. Lord, draw those who are yours back into the bosom of heaven, Lord, where they belong. Because without you, there's no hope. Without you, our story does not come out the way that it should. And without you, Lord, we are lost, and we are in the middle of a Friday. But now we're in a Sunday. And we thank you, Jesus, for changing our life. In your name we pray. Amen.